Hey everybody, thank you for joining us with CNY Community Connections. Today I am with Aaron Bates. Aaron is the executive director with the McMahon Ryan, Child Advocacy Center.
It's long.
It's okay. Long. But April is Go Blue for Kids Month. And can you explain to us a little bit what that means other than like I'm wearing blue for it today. Mm-hmm.
Sure. So we obviously work all year long to provide services to children that have been abused in Onondaga County and who are unfortunately experiencing that. And April is the National Child Abuse Prevention Month. So we make a big deal out of it to raise funds for the work that we do throughout the year.
So if you look at the description of the podcast, I talk about the pinwheel, and I am attending the pinwheel ball for the first time this year, but there are a lot of other realtors. I know Hunt gets a table, and a lot of the directors of the GSAR are going to attend as well, but it's my first year. Mm-hmm. What's that ball a little bit about? Because I hear it gets a little emotional for people.
It can, yes. So it is one of our biggest fundraisers of the year. It is our black tie event. It's our gala. So there's a silent auction, a live auction, all those typical types of things. It's a beautiful evening, but it's intended to really raise awareness and funds, again, for the work that we're doing throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So yes, a number of realtors attend every year, and we're glad to have them. But they come and they enjoy a beautiful evening with us, and they get to learn about the agency. I think that there are a lot of misconceptions about child abuse in general, along with, it's can be a taboo subject. Okay. So we do a lot of education and recognizing of those that have really put in the work throughout the year at that event. So it's a celebratory thing while also being educational at the same time.
And that's what Nancy Quay had mentioned to me, mm-hmm. That she said that it's just, you can walk past and you can walk past people and not know what they're going through. And kids might have a smile on their face, but when they go home. So, but there is another fundraiser that is in April, and that has to do with pinwheels, right? Mm-hmm. And that is planning of the pinwheels. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know anything about that. I'm kind of embarrassed. I know I've seen the pinwheels.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what they stood for before.
Yeah, so they are a national symbol of a safe and healthy childhood. So it fits right in with the Go Blue theme. So every single year for part of our Go Blue campaign, we go out in the community and have individuals and businesses that will buy those pinwheels and plant them for awareness purposes and for sparking conversation. And it's actually done really well. We have a number of kids, staffs, children that love to plant them. Nice. So we make it an agency event and we go out and plant those all together. So it's also a team building activity for us.
If I, as an individual, can you get them? Do you have to be through a business or a corporation?
No, you can go right on our website and order them or stop in and see us and order them. You can buy one, you can buy 10, you can buy 100. We have plenty to go around. As you can imagine, our basement's full of them, but people love them. And it's a great awareness spreader in a sense. People see the pinwheel and they ask what that's for. And they're pretty to boot. So
oh, yeah, I did go on the website and I saw some of the, at one point, I think it was Global Mohawk had them in a heart.
Yes.
A heart shape.
Yes.
It was very pretty.
Mohawk Global does thousands of them every year and tend to be creative with the design that they come up with. It takes a lot of their staff and our staff to get that together, but it's beautiful when it's done.
So you had mentioned you had a couple activities in April. I mentioned mm-hmm. two that start with pinwheel, but you have a couple other things that are going on.
Yeah.
As well.
So April is a very busy month for us, obviously, as you can imagine, but we have the pinwheel ball. But then we also have our Step Up for Kids 5K. This year is our 10th year. It is a very important event for us and it's fun. We get runners to come out and do the 5K, but we also have a fun run for the kids. So everybody gets a little bib, even the kiddos do. And they come out and get to run that race. And then following that, because we're located near middle ages, okay. There is an after party there. So you can get a ticket for an ice cream cone if you're under 21, or you can get a ticket for a beverage afterwards. And then with the park that's right there, we set up some fun family-friendly activities. Some vendors come out to share their information. So we make a whole morning of it. And it's a fun activity to come out and
What time does the 5K case start?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
So 9 o'clock is the start of the run for that. We are there well beyond that, planting of the pinwheels and all the things. So
if I was to come, I'm not a 5K person. I think I will be one day. That day just not is today. But if I wanted to come out for the Middle Ages piece of it, yep, and the activities, what time would I come out for that?
So, I mean, you could come to cheer on the runners if you wanted
true.
To.
Yeah.
But also with Middle Ages being right there, we are very lucky to have them engage with us and, you know, encourage us to participate there. There's an inside room upstairs that people will be able to go to.
Okay.
So you can enjoy a beverage and kind of hang out and get to talk to staff and other volunteers that are affiliated with the agency. But typically I would say like 10:30
okay.
is usually when things will start to settle a little bit.
So obviously we talked about like raising funds, raising awareness.
Mm-hmm.
With the funds that are raised, what type of ways are you giving back to the community and the kids?
Sure. So everything that we raise during the month of April goes directly back into programming. So at McMahon Ryan, we have advocacy services. So every kiddo that comes in, every family has an advocate associated with them, okay, to kind of help them through the steps in the process and explain things as they go. And then we have therapy services as well. So every kiddo that needs or wants those therapy services is able to receive those there. We also have within our multidisciplinary team, we're very lucky to be co-located with a medical clinic through Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital.
Okay.
So we can help fund some services through that. And then obviously with all of us sharing a building, there's a lot of operational costs that go into that, if I'm being transparent. And so we try to take care of the people that are in our building doing really hard jobs. You know, we have law enforcement and child protective in the building. And as you can imagine, those are very difficult jobs to have. So we try to, you know, make sure there's minimal issue as best we can. So all the funds raised supports all of that.
Yeah. And I appreciate the transparency because sometimes as, you know, as a business owner, people don't realize what it takes just to keep the lights on. Because if you don't keep
right.
the lights on, you don't keep the staff well mm-hmm. Educated. And if people are overworked, mm-hmm. I mean, it's stressful.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And it's a hard job to begin with. So like I said, we try to accommodate. Mm-hmm. We're very blessed to have everybody in one location. That's best practice for a child advocacy center.
Oh, yeah.
And we are just very lucky to have that. So like I said, we very much try to make sure that everybody is, you know, has what they need to do their job and do it well.
So, and I did a little bit of research
mm-hmm.
and I'm always curious about what gets somebody started and what was you may or may not know this. You've been with the company for 10 years at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, what was the mission when it was first created and how did it grow? So a little bit of the history of how it came to be to where it is today.
Sure. So I have to credit Martha Ryan here. Martha Ryan and Dr. Ann Botash through Upstate, they were the creators and the visionaries for this.
Okay.
There was a need in Onondaga County for a consolidated process for victims of abuse, child victims.
So when you say, and I'm sorry to interrupt, when you
no,
say
fine.
Consolidated, you just mean like everything was kind of piecemeal?
Because
if you think
yes.
about, if you think about a young child, you know, and you say consolidated, my mind went straight to, could you imagine having to go here and talk to this person and then restate what happened mm-hmm. to another person.
So. And that's exactly it. So I can tell you've done your research. I'm so impressed. So that's exactly what we're trying to work against, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that can be re-traumatizing for a child, as you can yeah. imagine. That can be re-traumatizing for anybody,
oh, yeah.
Let alone a kiddo. So the whole idea behind this was to bring the services to the kiddo, rather than having them having to travel to all these different places mm-hmm. and reshare all of that information and trying to be really trauma informed about it and, you know, bring the services to them. And like I mentioned, with us being co-located, once they come in, because there's an allegation, they've met the advocate, they're going to see that face every time they come in.
Mm-hmm.
They've been to that building, they know what to expect. And our medical and our therapy services, which are the initial services that they're going to need and receive if they wish, are right in that building too. So it makes everything really, really easy for that child and that family.
So was one of the first steps of the organization to get the building itself, I would assume?
Yes. Or? So Martha Ryan's family had a house. It was originally on West Onondaga, and it was not being used. And she fought for it to be used and all the pieces to come together. And she was able to do that. She is a powerhouse. If you've ever had the pleasure of meeting her, you can meet her at the ball. She's great. And so she really pushed for all of that to come together. And the only issue with that is that we outgrew it so quickly.
Which is actually sad. It really is sad. Right. And when you think about the fact that there was that need,
yes,
and that need was so strong, you know, back then that it, so I keep interrupting you, but I have these.
No, I'm glad that you are. It's fine. Interrupt all you want. And so with us outgrowing that, we came to our current location at 601 East Genesee in 2011.
Okay.
So still relatively new there, but we've been there for a second. And the building was completely redone, refurbished so that we could move in and be comfortable and do what we need to do. So if anyone ever is wanting to come in for a tour to see what that looks like, it's very much not scary, very child friendly. And so that's an important piece too, which I can explain if people want to come in and see it, but I'm very much open to that. I want people to see it because I think it's fear of the unknown. Right. And talking about child abuse is scary in and of itself. And then when you're worried that a kiddo, or if you have a child that you're trying to support through the process, is going to come in and like sit in this sterile room, like that's not the experience at all. So I don't want individuals to be afraid to reach out for resources and help.
You know, there's a question that eventually I'll get to the point where I don't ask it anymore, but I'm just curious. You know, the pandemic made a lot of changes in my industry and a lot of businesses and stuff. So I can only imagine what was going on. You can certainly share that if you want, but if there was any changes that came out of it, because there were good things that came out of like almost like a reset. Right. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about what that period was like and then if any changes came out of it for you guys?
Sure. So during the pandemic, obviously nobody knew what was going on in the beginning. It was kind of a scramble and put things together. And we are a crisis oriented agency. So we had to really figure out how we were going to confront that really. So once that settled down a little bit, the fear turned into, you know, the lessening of the reports that we were getting through Child Protective, through law enforcement, because we have to remember people, you know, their kids were home with them, which can be scary, depending on, you know, what those allegations of abuse look like. And so those reports waned a little bit, but we did see a kick up once things started to pick up and life came back a little bit into the community. But for us as an agency, we really used that to our advantage. And I say that because we were starting to realize that we could work from home.
Right.
And still get some things done. Like we are a crisis oriented agency, yes, and we need to be present. But we were able to do that while still operating from home. And so some of those pieces we maintained after life came back to normal, I'll say.
Yeah.
So we still give our staff a work from home day once a week.
Okay.
Because it worked out for their mental health, for their well-being, right? And it was good for, you know, business operations as well. People weren't as burnt out. People were having time to get paperwork and case notes done. So we have maintained that as a piece of our, like a perk to having such a difficult job.
I was thinking about that when you said you gave them one day. You said it, but I went straight to mental health.
Yes.
To just have that one day where, again, I can't wait to tour the center.
Yeah.
I will get there and get that and get the tour through other things that we're doing together. But it's not sterile, but it is the, you know, the kids. I believe you tell me at different times kids walk through and, you know, and put a smile on their face and maybe they put a smile on their face, but the first time they're coming, they have to be nervous when they're coming through that door.
Oh, of course. You know, and they're coming with a non-offending caregiver, parent. And typically when people come to see us, their life is in upheaval at that point, right? Like something serious has happened. There's serious allegations. We very much do our best to make them comfortable. And sometimes that's really difficult. Sometimes whatever we do isn't going to have that outcome, but mm-hmm. we do our best to really try. It's a very child-friendly environment. You know, we try to make sure that everything's explained to them because, again, fear of the unknown. If yeah. you don't know what that process looks like, that can be very overwhelming in and of itself. So our advocates do a great job of making sure that they're giving them step-by-step, you know, instructions or an idea of what to expect.
What does it look like if, let's say that a child comes in at the age of, I'm going to say 10, just mm-hmm. for a random age, and they're going through your process and they're getting the help that they need. Is there an exit strategy or are you guys staying with them until they get to be of the age of 18 or is it case by case?
Love that question. So it's case by case really. So I can explain it in that an advocate will stay with that family until that family says, you know, we're all set. You know, we're all good. So that can look a couple different ways depending on the case, but just as two different examples, you know, God willing, there are times when allegations come in, they turn out to be untrue. Okay. And so that family might say, you know what, thank you for your time. Thank you for your follow-up, but we're all set. But there are other times that family might need assistance with other things. Even experiencing, you know, the potential allegations can be very traumatic. Maybe they need a therapy referral. We can do that, right? And if not with us, then maybe with another provider. Advocates also will stay with clients. If there's a disclosure of abuse, obviously that can go through criminal court.
Oh, that's true.
And so we follow them through that process. And as individuals know, that can be a very lengthy process. So caseloads for advocates kind of ebb and flow. They're closing out cases rather quickly while they have cases that can stay on for 2-3 years. But they support them through all of that. And then our case process is that we don't close that until at least 90 days after sentencing. And that's really because a lot of times families are just surviving through that process and don't have time to actually take a look at things and figure out what other resources they might need. So we have found that upon follow-up, after everything with court is done, that sometimes they're needing a little extra assistance and we're there to provide that.
Now that makes sense because they're probably still in shock through that whole process.
It's a lot.
And again, I can't imagine it, but yeah. I would think so. And I know you answer a lot of questions for other people. Is there something that typically gets asked of you that I didn't think about asking or information you'd like to give out to the community while we have their attention?
I thought you asked great questions, but I guess I'll leave with this. So our numbers, they obviously up and down, you know, they fluctuate. But last year we served over 1,800 kids in Onondaga County. So we're very specific to the county that we serve, Onondaga. Each CAC is pretty much set up that way. But 1,800 kiddos within our county is a lot. And those are the ones that are disclosing. Like we know that not every child is disclosing that something has occurred. And I just think that that number is astounding. While I'm very glad that we are there to assist those families, it makes my heart a little sad that there's that many. Yeah.
Is there, and I'm sure it varies every year. Have you seen a growth or a decline, anything that, or is it just, it just depends on the year?
It just depends on the year. We're typically over 1,000 though. And I say that, you know, again, with a heavy heart, it makes me sad. But again, that's why we're there. So I guess that's a perfect caveat into we also provide outreach and prevention education. We have a whole team of individuals that do a great job in the schools providing information to children, teachers, admin staff, as well as the community through presentations about McMahon Ryan, how to spot abuse, all of those things. So they're out and about. And if people want resources or presentations or more information, they are the perfect people to reach out to.
And that's something I am for anybody that's watching to think that is a resource that we have here that in some ways is probably underutilized just because of the lack of education mm-hmm. of what's going on.
Yeah. So our outreach team answers phone calls all the time. Wow. Schools are great about reaching out to them when they have questions or concerns. And they have proven to be a resource to the community. And I would be remiss to not mention that we also have advocates that are on call 24/7. So during business hours, we also answer community calls. Okay. So if there are parents or caregivers that have a concern, they're able to call and get an advocate that's on call to answer their questions as well. We do our best to make sure everyone gets answered and pointed in a direction that can help them.
Well, and somebody might be willing to talk about something at 8 p.m., but by 8 in the morning or 9 in the morning, right, when the people come in, mm-hmm, they may have been like, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was something that I was thinking differently of. I always say I'm sometimes the queen of justification, right? But when you had said that, just out of curiosity, from the time that McMahon Ryan was created till now, do you see a lot more resources in the community that you can help be a part of, utilize, or send people to?
Absolutely. Syracuse is such a resource-rich area. We actually have a lot of resources. So, like, I think that we're great when it comes to, you know, serving those that are affected by child abuse, but we also make plenty of referrals to other services that are available in our community, and have a lot of great partnerships with them, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. I think Syracuse is great in that way, that all of these providers are pretty close knit and are able to share referrals and get individuals any service or, you know, provision help that they need.
It's nice to hear there's more collaboration, because sometimes, you know, people compete or they hold in their services, or they, you know, they want to be ranked higher or something. So that is one thing. And people, when I'm talking to nonprofits throughout Central New York, is there's so much collaboration.
Yes, yes. And collaboration with nonprofits is important. There's a lot of overlap between clients, right?
Oh, yeah.
We share a lot. Yeah. And so it's not uncommon for us to make referrals to Vera House, who's a great partner of ours, and, you know, like the Salvation Army for housing needs, any number of things, the food bank, the diaper bank, all those wonderful resources that we have.
Well, like I said, Erin, I appreciate you coming in and talking to me, and I'm excited to attend the ball. This is my first.
We're glad to have you.
Time. Yeah, I got to figure out what I'm going to wear. Right, the typical girl question is like, what am I going to wear? But I do appreciate it. I appreciate everything that your organization is doing. And, you know, there's a month for most things that are out there, but I can't wait till there's not a month for something like this, yeah, that, you know, if that would ever actually be possible. So,
well, we're spreading the awareness. We're hopeful, you know, but we are there if people need it. So,
perfect. Well, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody.